broadcasting live from the Orlando Orange County Convention Center for HIMSS 17. It's This Just In. Now, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
So very excited about my next guest, Dan Michelson, CEO of Strata Decision Technology. I've known Dan for, oh boy, not to give away your age, because you're getting up there now, but oh boy, right, 11, 12 years I've known you at least.
Yeah, it was a, I think it was, originally it was a dark night in Washington, D.C.
I believe it was.
And we met at the Capitol Grill with a number of other companies and formed the EHR Vendor Association. Yeah, it was like 12, 13 years ago.
04, that's right.
Crazy.
Wow. So, but obviously you have a great, unique perspective. You're one of the best strategists we have in healthcare. So, very happy to have you on the show. But tell us, let's step back. What do you look forward to at HIMSS? What are some of your goals for attending?
Yeah, well, it's my 17th year, so it's part of my life. It's obviously seeing a lot of old friends. I think you can get a landscape view very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone's looking for a couple little vignettes that they can pull away and do something with. We actually had a dinner last night. We had a hackathon. And we just shared ideas within 10 seconds that you could use in different organizations. Got more out of that dinner in about an hour and a half than anybody, any given session. So there's sometimes we overcomplicate things, but ideas ultimately are really simple. It's the execution that's really hard.
Yep. So tell us a little bit about just some of the trends that you're seeing out there. Obviously, you have a unique perspective with your company, but what are some of the health IT trends that you're seeing out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big shift is, over the last decade, we've automated on the clinical side of the house and largely left the financial side of the house as is from before.
Yeah.
So now as people are jumping into this new business model, they don't really know quite what to do with it and how to enable it. And everyone still is on the revenue cycle management side trying to squeeze, a raisin for a little bit more juice. when they need to make that shift towards value, and that's hard to define. So there's a big movement now afoot in terms of people trying to enable the financial side of the house to compete differently in a different business model. I mean, part of that is cost accounting, and the term we're using, a lot of people use, I guess, right now, is cost is cool. So if you become capped in a business model from some perspective, you call it a bundle, call it some type of other structure. Ultimately, how you manage your cost is how you manage your margin, right?
Cost is cool.
Yeah, that's the line. You can run with it.
I like it. So what are the couple of ways that you're addressing? What are two or three things?
Strata has been around for 20 years, and in the niche that we've carved out is really around cost accounting and helping people understand not only their cost, but also their margins, and that allows them to make better decisions. So we have a platform that extends beyond that, but certainly cost is cool right now, mm-hmm. as we just said. So that's where people are focused, and you can't take out cost unless you understand it. It's pretty fundamental.
So what are a couple of the best practices that you would share? That's my show is really focused on two or three best practices or strategies that you would tell people about.
Yeah, well, I think, the first one is, using a more advanced methodology for costing. What cost has been based on in healthcare is what's called the ratio of cost to charge. So I take my charges, mm-hmm. I take a ratio of that, and that's my cost. That's a fictional number and another fictional number, so it doesn't give you any level of accuracy.
Yeah.
So the best practice and the most simplistic practice and the hardest one actually to execute on is we've got to get cost information in the hands of physicians. If they, with their decisions, control 80% of a $3.2
yep.
trillion dollar spend, and yet they have no data with which to make those decisions or at least understand the impact of their decisions, well, then we're all flying blind. So I'm getting the information, getting accurate, actionable, and obviously making the data accessible for physicians is absolutely critical.
So what are three sources? Because that's part of something near and dear to my heart. I think I work on a little bit other side. I'm working, on the ambulatory side more. What are the sources for that information? Because that's very hard to get access to that information.
No, it really isn't in many ways. All you're doing is you're pulling data out. It's like the story of technology is a story of platforms. One platform gets built called the App Store, and then apps get built on top of that, and now apps are being built on top of those applications like Facebook and Instagram. All have different companies hanging off of them. So ERPs and electronic health records are that core system.
Mm-hmm.
And pulling out of those core systems and then running it through modeling is really how you create costing.
But for a five-doctor cardiology group, it's tough.
For a $5, yeah, for a $5 cardiology group, it's a little bit different. Yeah. Yeah, I would say the hospitals need to take the lead on this.
Yeah.
But largely, they've been operating, you know, in the gray. And so, like, when we talk about cost, some people might be thinking charge. Mm-hmm. Some people might be thinking reimbursement. Other people are thinking price. And then people are thinking, some people are thinking true cost.
True cost of staff. I mean, yeah.
And then you might have a patient perspective. Yeah. Like, if I have a high deductible plan, obviously, if I'm paying $4,000 or $5,000 for something, I'm thinking about it as a patient versus a copay paying $50. So you got a patient, you got a provider, you got a payer perspective. It's a very complicated world, but certainly it could definitely be simplified.
Well, it needs to be simplified, to be honest. So when I saw you opening night at the reception, you were discussing how your son had solved healthcare, and it was kind of cool. So it is a view from the top of a view from a 15-year-old on how to solve all of our healthcare problems. But I actually agree with it. So.
Yeah.
I'll let you give a couple-minute thesis here on what your son came up with.
Yeah, well, I mean, great ideas are simple ones. And right now, the narrative in healthcare is repeal and replace. And that's a really simple idea, and it's a great tagline, and it's gotten a lot of traction.
Yep.
But that is a political structure that's been built. But for the rest of us, those who've been in healthcare for decades, that's not quite how we look at it. So my son, who's 15 years old, was writing a term paper, and he picked Obamacare, like God help him. and so as all arguments should be made, you should try to take both sides of the argument, and that's really what this was, is he was trying to create an argument for and an argument against. And really where he ended up was that it's not about repeal and replace, it's about improve and innovate.
Yep.
And that's incredibly important to stop and think about. To me, I've been in healthcare for 27 years. It totally floored me because it changes the conversation. There is nobody here, the 45,000 people here, who don't want to improve healthcare, which is great and important, but also innovate.
So
make big leaps. And the number you and I talked about is $3.2 trillion is spent in healthcare. Mm-hmm. Let's say you make an improvement, you take out 10%. Well, now you have a $2.9 trillion healthcare system.
Right.
So it's still, I mean, who does that help?
Right.
You know, right. So, I mean, we have to make fundamental changes, and we have to take moonshots. In order to do that, we have to innovate. So I think, you know, take Ian's line, use it, improve and innovate. That's what we should all be talking about. And, you know, the political kind of, if you will, back and forth, we'll take care of itself over time.
Yeah, no, and actually, I mean, I completely agree with the process, I mean, or even the strategy, because if you think logically about what we need to do next with healthcare and the ACA, really truly improving and innovating makes a lot of sense. Ripping, replacing, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Just not sure about that strategy.
Well, and actually the Republicans, as you know, agree with that emphatically, right? So there's certain elements of it that they totally agree with, but the line is so compelling.
Yeah.
Secretary Leavitt, Mike Leavitt, who led HHS under the Bush administration, who you know very well, is one of the best minds on policy in healthcare, period. And he says, hey, listen, number one, Obamacare was incredibly effective in terms of starting change.
Right.
And that's a really important concept. So now we're dealing with those changes and we're going to improve and innovate on top of those changes, but it's set a lot of change in motion. And for those of us who work in healthcare, that's a really important thing to rally around. So a lot of what we're doing at HIMSS now is a reaction in a very positive way to some of the things that were set in motion. So.
No, very true. Dan Michelson, CEO of Strata Technology, Decision Technology. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you, Justin. Appreciate the opportunity.
Appreciate it. Thank you. And you are a return guest as well. You've already been here one time.
So. All right.
Awesome.
Two in a row.
You got it.
Make it three next year.
Thanks, buddy.